little bit earlier on in Genesis chapter 41. But as you unite together in prayer, we'll still our hearts at the throne of grace. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank Thee for all that's been done already in this meeting. And Father, we rejoice, O God, we come, Lord, to be drawn afresh to Christ. We pray, O God, this day we'll see none that save Jesus only. I pray, O God, that Thou wilt cleanse me from sin, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and help me to bring forth Thy word. I pray, O God, for each and every one who would sit in the pew. We pray, O God, that by Thy Spirit Thou wilt come and minister to each and every heart. Lord, Thou dost know the situation. And Father, we pray, O God, if there be any outside of Christ without a Saviour, may they come to put their faith and trust in Jesus, the mighty to save. And Father, we pray, O God, Thy people, that we will rejoice in so great salvation for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, bless us. We pray, O God, we'll leave Thy house saying, it was good to have been here, for here we met afresh with Thee. Give us help in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 41, Joseph is chosen by Pharaoh to rule over his kingdom. All power is given into Joseph's hand to rule over the land, and Joseph will rule by his word. Now, if you study the life of Joseph, you will come quickly to learn that in his life there's many illustrations, pictures that lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God willing, in this message today, why there will be lessons that we will learn from the life of Joseph, from his person, his character, that there is those practical lessons, but also as well, lessons beyond him that we will be drawn afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ and make those applications to our heart. And so hopefully as we come to this introduction, you will get a sense of that typology and that picture of the Lord. As we said, Joseph has been chosen in the land by Pharaoh to rule over that land. God gave Joseph a message. What had to be done in the land? A man must be chosen to rule over Egypt. A famine is coming, and God will send a provider. Pharaoh looks around his kingdom, and there's no one fit in his kingdom. A man full of the Holy Ghost, a man wise, a man discreet, a man full of understanding. There's no one Pharaoh can recognize in his kingdom to fit such a position. But God has providentially placed a man called Joseph right there. And Pharaoh's eyes are fixed upon Joseph, and he chooses Joseph as that one to rule over the land of Egypt. And Joseph will rule by his word. Whatever Joseph says, the people will do. They are to obey his word. Joseph was in prison, and he's then been brought out of prison, and he's been exalted in the land. He's been brought out of the prison, and he's now been placed on the throne. And on that placing on the throne, Pharaoh gives certain rewards to Joseph. We've read them there. He gives him what is termed as the ring of authority. Also, the Finan vestures of appointment, the golden chain of accomplishment, and the chariot of adoration, where people will praise Joseph's name. Also, Pharaoh gives Joseph a new name, and he calls him Saphnath-Paneah. And if you have a Hebrew margin in your Bible, that is the wee middle indexed, you will find that terminology is used as the Saviour of the world. There's also three names. There's the Saviour of the world, there is the Revealer of secrets, and there's also the one meaning, bread to sustain. And Joseph is all of that in the land of Egypt. And again, you can see how all that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is exalted far above all, the one who sits upon a throne clothed in majesty and in honour, the one who is praised above all, the one who is the Saviour of the world, the bread of life, the one who is the great prophet of his people. But that's another message for another day, all those things. And we're going through the life of Joseph in our own congregation. I'm on message, must be 60-something. and all those things I've just mentioned, we've taken a message on each of those. So today we're coming to another reward that Pharaoh gave Joseph, and it is a wife, and her name is Asenath. Pharaoh gave Joseph Asenath, this Egyptian woman. And whenever Pharaoh gave Joseph this woman to be his wife, Joseph didn't refuse her. Joseph didn't reject her. He didn't cast her away. Rather, he received this woman on to himself. Joseph accepted Pharaoh's choice, his sovereign choice of the bride given. And Joseph received her just as she was. Asenath was brought from the people on the streets into the palace to be one with Joseph. And again, just in that, we see our minds again lifted to the Lord Jesus Christ, a greater than Joseph, our heavenly Joseph, because Joseph's picture in being married to this Egyptian bride, this woman who has been brought out of the streets into the palace to be one with him, is a great picture in the gospel message of how the Lord saves sinners and draws them to himself, and they become one with him. He is the bridegroom, and his people are the bride. The Lord receives all kind of sinners, sinners from all walks of life, sinners from various languages and backgrounds, and he never turns any away. He never turns any who come to him or who have been given to him, but he receives them just as they are. And that ought to thrill your heart this morning for you who are not saved, because you don't have to go out there to try and make yourself more acceptable. Rather, you just come as you are, lost in your sin, vile, guilty, deserving of hell. And you come, and the Lord will receive you unto himself and bring you unto himself. And we'll look at those things this morning as time permits. But I've been given my time, so if I get there, we'll just cut it short. And if I'm ever back again, we'll pick up the next part. Notice three simple thoughts. Asenath has been given to Joseph. Asenath was given to Joseph. Verse 41. And he, that is Pharaoh, give him, that is Joseph, to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And there's three simple thoughts that I want to look just under this first point. First of all, the power from which she was given. Pharaoh is the king of the land, and therefore he sovereignly chose Asenath for Joseph to be his wife. King Pharaoh commanded and willed according to his own sovereign pleasure that Asenath would be given to Joseph, and she was given. Asenath had nothing to do with this marriage. She had nothing to do with Pharaoh giving her to Joseph. Rather, she was chosen by Pharaoh. Again, she was not chosen because of anything in her. She was not chosen because of who her father was or the background of her father in the land of Egypt. The Bible tells us nothing regarding this woman's appearance, her looks, her talents, her abilities, her possessions, or anything. All we know that this was a woman in the crowd and equal standing with all other women in Egypt living the Egyptian way of life. And yet Pharaoh, in his own sovereign pleasure, sets his eyes upon this woman Asenath, and gives her to Joseph to be his wife. Again, this is all part of Joseph's exaltation. He's come through his humiliation, his suffering, his shame, being sold by his brothers, being put in prison, rejected, despised, and hated. And now he is exalted on high. He's been raised to the throne, and he's been given all these rewards. And again, there's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is exalted and the one whom God has given all things into his hand. Believer, in thinking of our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, a bride, a wife, has been given to him who is the church. And if you are saved this day, You make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been given to Christ by sovereign power, by heaven's authority. We're not chosen because of anything that is in us or anything that we could have done. There's no works of righteousness that we could ever have earned to earn God's favor. The best that we could ever do is but filthy rags in his sight. There's no natural beauty, no spiritual beauty within any one of us. Rather, we are as all men, born by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. We are all born equal standing, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. We can say like David, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. By nature, we were on that road leading to eternal damnation. But God, who is rich in mercy, and according to his own eternal and sovereign power, he chose us out of this world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, and he gave us to his beloved Son to be his wife, to be his bride. We learn in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified, and notice the word, freely, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4, I will love them freely. That word freely in those verses means without a cause. A meaning in this, there's nothing in you, there's no reason in you why God would choose you in Christ. There's nothing lovable, nothing likable about you, why he should ever set his love upon you. But according to his own sovereign pleasure, he has chosen a people unto himself and given that people to his Son. Rather, there's every reason in us for him to bypass us, for him to cast us away to a lost eternity. Do you realize that, child of God, this morning? Not one of us deserve salvation. Not one of us deserve the mercy of God. There's not one person here that can say, I deserve to be saved. There's not one who can say, well, the one beside me, behind me, I can understand about them. But to me, I'm not like other people. I'm different than them. No, all of us deserve eternal damnation. But the reason why we're saved is because God, from the foundation of this world, has chosen a people, and he's given that people to Christ out of his own sovereign pleasure. And so the very fact that anyone is saved is by the sovereign power of God. Again, John 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Child of God, this morning, you've been chosen by sovereign power. You've been given by God to Christ, and he set you apart. That truth does not cause us to be proud, but it causes us to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And I wonder this morning, are you rejoicing in God's salvation? Have you taken time already this day to say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul? I wonder, is there one this morning still lost in sin, still on the broad road to lost eternity? You must realize that salvation is not by the church, but salvation is of the Lord. And you must come this day to the Savior. Notice briefly also the place from which she was given. There's no specific place mentioned in this verse or this passage, but if you take time to read the whole scene, you'll find it takes place in Egypt. And since it takes place in Egypt, where Joseph is, and by this woman's name we'll look at a bit later on, she is not a Jew. Joseph is a Jew, but this woman is not a Jew. Rather, she is a Gentile. And so you know you're either a Jew or you are a Gentile. And if there's any Jews in here, then we say shalom. But for the rest of us, we are all Gentile. And as you know, the word Gentile means heathen. And so this woman is a heathen woman. Egypt in the Bible is a type, a picture of the world with all its bondage, its burdens, its slavery, its sin, its continual tests and temptations, all which Joseph went through, which our Savior went through, its agendas, its accusations, its attractions, its allurements, its activity. And again, there's a wonderful picture in all of that where Joseph was tested, was put through all these, but he won the victory. He did not fail. He said, how could I do this wickedness and sin against God? And again, there's a wonderful picture there of Christ, the one who has gone before us and the one who is the conquering one. God had sent Joseph into Egypt. The whole point of Joseph's life is a famine is coming in the land. And Joseph is set up to be the preserver, the provider of the people. And from chapter 37 through 41, it concentrates on the Jews. His own brethren despise him, reject him. They refuse the message that one day he will rule over them. And then from chapter 41 onwards, it then extends down to the Gentiles. As the famine comes and Joseph opens the storehouses, he is the provider, and people come seeking bread and they are filled. And so you have both Gentile and Jew, and Joseph supplies for them both. Again, a wonderful picture in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And so there's a wonderful picture there that when Jew and Gentile come to Christ, they are one in Christ. There's only one Savior, one Redeemer, one Mediator. Not different ways for different people. There's only one way of salvation and one Savior. And if you miss that one way, you miss eternal life. You miss the storehouse of eternal provision. But again, that's another message for another time. We'll stick for Asenath just now. Joseph is sent into Egypt to save this people. And as we said, his humiliation has ended. He's come out of prison and he has been exalted and given a wife. All this takes place in Egypt. And so, believer, the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world. He's gone through the shame, through the suffering, in order to save a people. And as Joseph's message was rejected, that one day his brethren would stand before him and he would rule over them, so one day the Lord Jesus will come back, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. In Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the linen is the righteousness of the saints. The place that Joseph went to receive this wife, it was in Egypt. The world, the place associated with burdens, with trials, with tests. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world, this world full of sin, and he became a curse for us in order to redeem us from the curse. He had to come into this world in order to purchase his bride that was given to him. Notice the practices from which she was given. Verse 41, and he, Pharaoh, gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Athanas, father, Potipharah, priest of On. Now, names in the Bible and places and people's names in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, they do carry significant lessons and they're there for a purpose. For instance, the name Asenath means belonging to the goddess Neith. And again, there's much more we could say about that, but the goddess Neith was worshipped among one of the many gods in Egypt. And of course, it was a heathen society with their many gods, their many ways of worship. And the Egyptians would have come to Neith, believing this god to be the god of wisdom. Again, Potipharah gave his daughter this name to exalt the false god that they worshipped. Potipharah His name means given by the sun god. And the place On was one of the important religious cities in Egypt, where there was the temple Ra to the sun god. And this false god, this idol, was depicted as a falcon wearing a gold disc as a crown. And again, the whole point is it's just all false worship, and names are given to their children to relate to the gods that they worship. And so the whole point is taking all these names and all these meanings, Asenath would have been raised in deep heathenism, paganism, idolatry, and spiritual darkness. She was raised to worship her false gods and her pagan deities. And such worship meant, in the eyes of God, she was guilty of breaking the law of God, bowing down to idols and serving other gods. And whether or not Asenath was still practicing those gods that her father was in fault with, yet the point remains that as she grew up, she would have been under the care of her father and involved in heathen worship. She learnt the way of the heathen, and she walked the ways of the ungodly. Her heart was given over to idolatry. And yet this is the one that Pharaoh, in sovereign power, gives over to Joseph after he calls him Satnath-Paneah, the savior of the world. Then he gives him a bride. And that is very, very interesting, because again, in the picture, Asenath is a picture of lost humanity, ungodly and unrighteous sinners, yet been given to Jesus Christ to become his bride. The Bible teaches in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, the Lord came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we learn that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us has missed the mark, has missed the standard of God's perfection. We learn in Luke chapter 5, verse 2, this man, referring to Christ, receiveth sinners. We learn in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. And even in this room just now, if God was to mark iniquity, none would stand. However, within the everlasting covenant of grace, as a reward for Christ obeying his Father's will, a kingdom, a people, a bride is given unto him for his own possession. And oh, unworthy and undeserving of such a marriage. Yet we learn that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And therefore the church of Christ is made up, if you like, of Asenaths. Such were some of you, all types of sinners. And you know the day that you received all the sin that you were involved in. And the point is this, you worshipped your sin, you loved your sin, but the Lord has saved you. But here's the whole point. In Joseph receiving Asenath, he must forget her past. I will look at that in a minute. And there's a picture there of Christ, that in giving us, God giving us to Christ, Isaiah 38 verse 17 teaches that all our sin is cast behind his back. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He has blotted out our transgression. This is the gospel message. Pharaoh sovereignly gives this heathen woman to Joseph, and he brings her on to himself, and she becomes one with him in marriage. But to do so, he must forget her past. He must put her past aside. And so we learn in the gospel that all our sin has been put behind the Lord's back. He has chosen to remember our sins no more. And that ought to be a blessing to us, child of God. The Lord never recalls our sins. He doesn't keep reminding us of our past life. But rather, when the devil does that, when the flesh does that, We are told that that has been put aside, never to be remembered any more. Asenath was given to Joseph. Notice, secondly, briefly, Asenath was blessed through Joseph. This passage is not authorizing a marriage between the saved and the unsaved. Joseph has not been rebuked or chastened by the Lord. I know there's different commentaries have different thoughts on this passage, but you take this passage, you take it the whole scene together of what the Lord is doing in Joseph's life and sending him to be the provider in the land. Rather, the lesson we are to take from this is Asenath is brought into union with Joseph. She becomes one with him and accepted in him. This Gentile woman is brought into union with this Hebrew man, and they become one under God. She immediately enjoys his presence. She has continual direct access to Joseph. By her marriage union and by this oneness, Asenath has entered into all the rights, the privileges of the ruler's wife. All that belongs to Joseph belongs to his wife. Asenath will know Joseph's presence, power, protection, and provision. The two cannot be separated. She shares with Joseph's exaltation. She has now entered into his full inheritance, and she is raised to higher ground. This is the woman that has been chosen out from among others by Pharaoh, by sovereign power, by sovereign command, and given to Joseph, the ruler in the land, the savior of the world, to be his bride. And he puts her life aside, her past aside, and brings her on to himself, and she is blessed through him. And so, child of God, we have been given to Christ. We've entered into a marriage union with him. We are in union with him. We are his treasure, his inheritance, his peculiar people. Again, Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, glorified together. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He is the head. We are the body. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. All that belongs to Christ belongs to his people. We rule, we reign with him. We shall be forever with him. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. We've entered into all the promises of God in Christ. All that God's given Christ, he's given his people. When God looks at his son, he looks at his people. They can never be separated. And that ought to thrill your heart today. That's why you are forgiven. That's why you will never be in hell. Because when God looks at his son, he looks at you. And when he looks at you, he sees his son. He says the same thing about you that he says about his son. This is my beloved. And so Asenath has come in under Joseph's care, his protection, his love, his favor, sovereignly given. And so as the people of God, we inherit through Christ, and we are more than conquerors through him. Our internal inheritance will never corrupt nor fade away. It's been signed by precious blood. We are assured of heaven. Let me just summarize it this way. Asenath belongs to Joseph. So the church belongs to Christ. Just as Joseph took Asenath to himself, so Christ has taken his church on to himself. Just as Joseph would not cast Asenath away, so Christ will never cast his people away. The Lord said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that word cast out means to expel. And therefore, here's the hope of God's people. You who have come to him for salvation, You who have been chosen before the foundation of the world, you who Christ has died for and saved, he will never expel you. There's nothing you can do to cause God to love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to cause him to love you any less. You will never be expelled. Why? Because you've been brought into this marriage, this union. And that's why you don't read. Whenever Pharaoh gave Asenath to Joseph, he doesn't keep her for a wee bit and say, well, Pharaoh's not here, listen, away on with yourself. No, he takes her on to himself. Asenath was blessed and enriched through Joseph. We are enriched and blessed through Christ. Child of God, you are blessed today with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice finally, and very, very briefly, Asenath was fruitful by Joseph. And again, this goes into another message on its own. Verse 50, unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And so Asenath bears Joseph children. Verses 51, 52, you have Manasseh and Ephraim. And again, you have there, as you read on down, the Bible tells you the meaning of these men's name there in the first that they are mentioned. And you can look at that. But my point is just now, through this marriage union, there was fruit brought forth. Life was brought forth. These boys were the fruit of the womb. And the point I'm making is the fruit or life produced in the womb came by Joseph. This marriage union, this coming together of Joseph and his wife brought forth fruit, brought forth inheritance. This woman was blessed by Joseph, and she was fruitful because of Joseph, that she gave Joseph children. And so once again, we see the picture in the life of Christ and his people. Because of our union in him, there is fruit by our life. The people of God bear fruit because of our union in Christ. Again, John 15, verse 1, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, here is our union in Christ. Here is this marriage, and I am him. Because of this union, because of this marriage, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 2 of John 15, bring forth more fruit. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The Lord said in the sermon, didn't he? By their fruits ye shall know them. And a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The whole point is, by our union in Christ, there ought to be fruit in our life, flourishing. What is this life? What is this fruit? It's not about how many, though it's included, of leading souls to Christ. But above all, it's having a life day by day conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be more and more like the Savior. That is the fruit of the Christian life. You could do all you want for the Lord, but you must be becoming day by day like the Lord, like the Savior. Do you love him more today than yesterday, than last week? Do you know more of his presence? Have you learned more of the Savior day by day? That is the fruit that is flourishing in our life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, to walk as John told the people, even as he walked. John 8, verse 29, the Lord said, I do always those things that please him. Well, that's the fruit in our life. Do we set to live our life to do those things that please the Lord? Again, Joseph's motto in life was, whenever temptation came, whenever attacks came, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God. And therefore, men and women and young people, you burn that into your soul, that whenever you're tempted to whatever it may be, whatever sin or pleasure, you just have that verse in your mind, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And do what Joseph did, flee the situation. Don't try and handle it yourself. Just remove yourself from it. Because the Lord lived to do those things that pleased him. John 14, verse 31, the Lord said, that the world may know that I love the Father. The Lord said himself, you are the light of the world. Your life is to be as that city that is set on a hill. And obviously, by our good works, we are to glorify our Father. What did the Lord pray? John 17, Father, I have glorified thee. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. These are all things that is bearing fruit in our life, to please the Lord, to live for the Lord, to walk as he walked, to pray as he prayed. That is the fruit from the marriage union, more and more and more, day by day, striving to be more like the Savior. Asenath was given by Pharaoh to Joseph. God the Father hath given a people to the Son. That woman, Asenath, was then blessed through Joseph. Just as when you were given to Christ, you are blessed through him. And Asenath was fruitful with Joseph, by Joseph, through Joseph. And so it is, through our union in Christ, we are fruitful in our life, producing honor to the Lord. The work that he has begun in us will continue to work in us day by day until the Lord returns. What about you today? Are you saved? I pray that you'll come to Christ this day and ask him to be your Savior. And child of God, you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Now, I've taken up too much time there, so I apologize for that, but I'll hand our meeting back to your brother. Thank you.